You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Okay, let's tell you about hotel operator Southern Sun. It has reported a revenue jump of 19% to 6 billion rand. Group adjusted headline profit jumped 77% to 783 million rand. Valued at some 7.5 billion rand, the group operates a number of brands and hotels, including 54 on Bath, Sandton Towers as well. It is the owner of Sandton Convention Centre and also has 95 hotels and resorts in South Africa, not only in the country, but in other markets as well. So the inflation data released today also talks to the results. It could be argued very well with the annual rate for restaurants and hotels rising to 7.5% in April from 5.7% in March. We speak now to Marcel van Orlok, CEO of Southern Sun. Marcel, thank you very much for your time this evening. I guess a big congratulations is in order. How would you characterize the results?
Big sense of relief. It's the first clean set of numbers post COVID. And obviously this was an industry that completely decimated. So there's an element of just like feeling really good that we know the industry works. It's come back where it should be. The cash flow generation is there. We've held on to the cost savings that we had during COVID, and a lot of that is a sense of relief. And we're benefiting from a tourism boom in the Western Cape, which is nice.
It would seem that luxury hotel guests are quite resilient. Tell us more in terms of how this has contributed to what we're seeing today.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing that came out of post-COVID travel worldwide. It's not just a South African phenomenon. Number one, the price of travel has gone up substantially. So airline tickets are pretty much, in many cases, double or more for international travel and for local travel to what they were pre-COVID. And you find the luxury end of the market has recovered much faster than the economy side. I don't think price is the determinant for people to travel. The ones that are traveling no matter what the price is. And it's just there are definite dynamic differences. I mean, the Bush Lodges, which is not a business we're in, but we kind of associate with it because we host them as they come through Joburg and they spend a night and then go up to the Botswana and so on. We can see the pricing in those lodges is substantially higher than pre-COVID. And that talks to this, I don't know if there's a shift in spend to experiential away from things, but you've got a very good rate recovery. And we see it in the Western Cape, where the international inbound has been the top end. Your middle market foreign tourist has not recovered to the same extent as what the top end has, probably put off by and large the cost of flights. And it's an interesting phenomenon that came out of COVID.
What is it about Cape Town, do you find?
So they've done a very good job of positioning the city. I mean, the tourism product here is superb. The waterfront is a wonderful experience. The entire Cape experience is magnificent. They've got their direct air access program going well. So the city through Westgrow and so on has positioned itself. And you see it regularly in the media. Cape Town voted the second most popular city in the world, and Boulder's Beach, the second most beautiful beach in the world. And so they've got themselves onto that global city tourism map. In your life, you want to see Rome and you want to see Barcelona and you want to see Cape Town. And they've done very well on that. And that you don't get that. The balance of the country, we're very much more business focused in our business, a lot less international side. You do get international business travel. So in Sandton, for example, the convention center has had a record year. It's done particularly well. The bookings are locked up on that big convention stuff. And there's a big international element to that. But the pure tourism aspect generally is Cape Town and then the bush.
And then the bush. You speak of occupancy, right? So stronger demand helped group occupancy pick up more than 7 percentage points to almost 59% to end March. Could you have had a better occupancy level at year end?
Look, I really was hoping we would go over 60. And I don't stand with sort of enormous pride to say we're a 58% hotel group. That talks to an industry that is still, or an economy, should I say, that's still battling. It's back to the pre-COVID levels, which is good. It wasn't an industry that was booming pre-COVID either. Now, admittedly, we're being helped along by the tourism numbers through the Western Cape and the pricing power that gives us. But overall, we should be trading in the high 60s occupancy, not in the high 50s. And that speaks to an economy that is not growing. So we've got a lot of budget product that businesses are suffering. Corporates are holding back on spend. Yeah. Government is holding back on spend. That economy, if we were running at a 2 or 3% growth rate in the economy, South Africa would be a fundamentally different place. And that hasn't kicked through yet. So we're in a place now where we fight for market share. But ultimately, that needs to come through. We need to get our volumes up. And then we'll be a substantially more profitable business than we are now.
Sure. I mean, when you speak of profitability, stronger cash generation helped you to cut net debt by about 300 million rand to 1 billion rand.
Yeah, so the debt came down, but we could have brought down the debt a lot more. The share buybacks were what we spent our money on in the year. So we generated about 1 billion rand. We spent just under 200 million on expansion, and then we had the share buybacks. And, you know, the markets just undervalued what this business is. And there was some fairly big volumes that were being traded. I think people had made a lot of money during COVID, bought at much lower prices. And we decided to buy those shares back. And that's also kicked up our earnings, because we've gone from a 77% increase in adjusted earnings to an 88% increase in earnings per share. And that's the power of a buyback if you buy it at the right price. So that was what we spent the money on in the year. Okay. Otherwise, we would have had virtually no debt left.
Sure. Let's take a look, because we focused a lot on Cape Town or the Western Cape. What about KwaZulu-Natal as a province? How did it treat you?
It's okay. It was the one province that didn't grow, but it had a high base in it, because KZN was one of the first places to recover post-COVID. So it had a high base, which was awkward for it. And then it is suffering. I mean, KZN is suffering a PR issue at the moment. Yeah. And it needs government travel on those big beachfront conference-type hotels. And Umhlanga's doing very well. But the PR around Durban's got problems, with no doubt. I'm not glossing over those. But the PR around Durban is substantially worse than what the actual issues are. So its occupancies weren't that different to Cape Town, but it doesn't have the international base coming in. So you don't get the same pricing power. So you're selling as many rooms, but you're not getting the same price for them. And that obviously doesn't give you the same type of profitability.
Hmm. When you say the PR is worse than the actual issues, what does that mean?
So there's a lot of negativity around the beaches opening and closing and the city maladministration and sewage and carte blanche exercises. And every time Christmas comes, there's another saga around Durban and so on. But if you actually go there, it has problems, but it is not as bad as what that PR looks. And I feel quite sorry for some of the city management, because the politics in KZN is atrocious. And anybody watching the election thing coming up, you can see the big fighting ground is KZN. And that just creates a lot of disruption there. But your actual day-to-day trading, when we're holding the conferences in those hotels, they work beautifully. That beachfront is beautiful 95% of the time. But it's a tough province to operate in because of the politics.
Oy, and beautiful weather it has as well. When we take a look at Gauteng, how did it treat you? Because you've got, conferences there as well, but did they help?
It's recovered nicely. It's still below where it should be. It's the actually worst performing of the three regions. So Cape Town's first, then Durban, then Gauteng. And that's your business travel that hasn't come back. There's quite a lot of oversupply in Sandton and Johannesburg particularly. There was new product built pre-COVID that the demand hasn't risen to absorb that supply yet. But you need your business travel up. And all of that talks back to the economy. And as soon as that economy kicks in, then we'll be very happy. I mean, we make good money out of Sandton. But all of those are where we're sitting. If those lower performing ones can get up, then your average starts heading to the 65, not the 58 occupancy.
You speak of economic growth, right? And with the work that you do, you do sound like you've got some of the solutions to the problems that these provinces are plagued with. When you speak of PR issues, when you speak of the Western Cape positioning itself quite well. If we could, when we speak of that 3% growth of the economy, right, in an ideal world, what is the contribution from your group, right, in terms of the relevant officials? What do you need to do to grow the spaces so you grow the economy, or it bleeds into the economy?
I mean, to be honest, it's all we're a relatively small company on the grand scheme of things. All government needs to do is just have policy certainty. Stop all the nonsense. Don't score own goals. In the tourism world, don't mess around with the swallows that come out here and spend an absolute fortune in foreign currency in the country and now mess them around whether they've got a 90-day visa or 180-day visa because some bureaucratic person in the middle thought it was now going to stick to a rule somewhere that was a silly rule. That sort of thing. Just don't score own goals. And the balance of it is out of my pay grade, how you fix the mining system and so on. But 40 days of no load shedding, all of us are feeling better already. That's a great start.
I know, that's right. When you speak of the visa issue, what's the latest with that? Because government came out to refute that, saying, oh no, there's a lot of panic that's been created and it's not really the story. What's the story according to your knowledge?
It doesn't matter what they say publicly. It happens. What happens at the border with the official behind the counter. And if he starts giving someone an intimidation factor and saying you're not compliant and they're going to ban you and so on, the damage is done. That person behind the counter does not have, well, the person going through that is not interested what the public statement from the DG in the media was, what happened to the people. And they're just, it's just another example. There are many of them. They must just not do own goals.
Outlook for the group?
Okay. We don't know. So we've got a good base. We've, as I say, you need some economic growth here. I think the base is a strong one. Cape Town should still do well, and we're going to see continued recovery in the corporate travel. There is the bit of elections in between that is a mess, but as soon as that's out the way, we just build off of this base. Like we're very happy with what the group looks like now. It's fundamentally restructured from pre-COVID. We've got a great balance sheet. We've got strong cash flow generation. We just navigate our way forward from there.
Why are the elections a mess? Do they impact on business?
Yeah, it's a public holiday in the middle of the week. That's the first thing. It destroys a working week. So that impacts, and it makes government uncertain. And so you see an impact on travel. Like elections are, we get other business. So we pick up IEC business and police and all that sort of thing. But it's generally disruptive to your normal corporate environment.
Got you. Marcel van Olock, CEO of Southern Sun. Thank you very much for your time this evening.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.